Grab your Bibles. We're reading the book of Matthew, chapter 4, as we start working through Matthew and looking at these red letters. Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry." And I always think of that as one of the big understatements of Scripture. Here he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says, oh yeah, by the way, he was hungry. I'd be famished. Right? I skip one meal, and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to die. But, and here Jesus was. It's interesting that the Spirit led him. Right? And we're going to be talking this idea of temptation this morning. And we live in a world that's full of temptations. We have whole industries whose only job is to entice you to buy their product. Right? If you buy their product, you know, you'll get women. You'll be happy. You'll be successful. You'll have hair. All these things, right? You watch these commercials. You know, while we're talking, one of the ones that really bother me, and it doesn't even apply to me, but it just bugs me, is these anti-wrinkle creams, right? And what happens is, you know, they show this girl who's like 23, and she's like, oh, I might have a wrinkle. Oh, no, right? And she's like trying to apply this other stuff. It's like, you know, talk when you get a face like this. It's like prune face, right? You know? I think it's Crest. You know, have this lady on there and says, oh, my yellow teeth, and her teeth are like radiant. They're just not bright enough, right? We live in a warped world. But they have huge policies and huge programs to get you and to entice you to buy their product. We are filled with a society that's filled with temptations. I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but if you have a smartphone, it listens to you. My wife and I were talking about something, and within 15 minutes, we started seeing ads about what we were talking about. That kind of creeps me out. Temptation is all around us. Now, I want to be clear, as we start talking about this idea of temptation, temptation isn't sin. All right? If you are tempted, that is not sin. It's what you do with it. Temptation can lead to sin. But temptation in and of itself is not sin. We're going to see that Christ himself was tempted. He was tested in all points like we, yet without sin. And sometimes what happens is we feel that temptation, and sometimes we feel defeated already. And people give up. Don't. Christ was tempted. He had those external forces pressing upon him, and yet we know he was sinless. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. It's that yielding, it's what you do with it that leads to sin. Because Christ was tempted, Hebrews tells us, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then in here, Christ was tempted. He had gone through what we've gone through. And because of that, we can go to him. God is not just some far-off God who has no understanding of what we've been through. We have this example of here in the wilderness where Satan tempts him in three different areas. Areas that we are confronted in. And by looking at what Christ did and what he said, we can find out our proper response to temptation. Right? Remember I said, temptation itself is not sin. It's what do you do with it. And by looking at Christ's word and how he handled temptation, we can take those same things and apply them to our lives. Temptation comes from out. It's interesting. We live in this world where pressures are pushed in. We have advertisements that are everywhere. We have the crowd. We have the world. We have these philosophies all around us trying to encourage us to do the wrong thing. Right? You've heard people say, well, the devil made me do it. And the seventh devil is a tempter. He knows the ploys. He knows what tempts you. He knows what buttons to push in your life, right? I mean, if you're probably like me and in your marriage, he knows what buttons to push to get you guys going, right? It's interesting. When things are going well, I can't tell you how many times, something's going on in the church, and probably about 3 days prior, I feel like the wheels are falling off of the house. You ever had that? God's going to do something great, and Satan wants to kind of just mess that up, get you discouraged, get you focused on something else. All these pressures come from the outside. Sin turns around and brings an internal desire. And this is where we talk about where sin, temptation turns into sin. When we take that external and allow it inside. And what sin did, sin put that desire within us. We have an appetite for sin. We have an appetite for rebellion against God. That's what sin did to us. So not only are we pushed from the outside, but now we have that desire within us. And we can all thank Adam and Eve for that. They were in the garden, remember the Bible says? And now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eye, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, ate it. She also gave it to her husband. Here Adam and Eve were made perfect, placed down in the garden. They had one rule, just one rule, not to eat of the fruit. And Satan said, "Did God really say that? Oh, tempted. Oh, look at how shiny it is. Look how pretty it is." And he says, "You know, if you take it, you'll be like God. And you'll know good and evil." And we see this precedent for temptation laid forth that sin does for us. And John spells it out really clearly. He says, "This is all that is in the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world." And temptation falls into typically one of these three areas. It's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Because what happens is these circumstances come in our way, and it's the internal that says, "Look, I want that." Now, often I think of temptation, the illustration always comes down for food. Right? And you know, I was doing really good on a diet until vacation, and then all bets are off. And now we've been home off vacation for almost a month. And I keep telling my wife, I said, "Monday I'm going to start back on my diet." I didn't tell her which Monday. And so it hasn't happened yet. And I don't know if you guys have been there. There's a new bakery down on Verona Island. And every day, it shows up on my Facebook feed. And they came out with a thing called the cardiac. I think it was cardiac. Or no, the coronary, I'm sorry. And it's a bacon, egg, donut. It's a sandwich made with a glazed donut. And that comes up there, and I'm like, "That's going to kill you, but I want it." Right? And that's where that temptation comes in, because you see it with your eyes, but it triggers something in you. Right? I mean, they could have a picture of liver and onions, which is probably one of the very few things that I can't stand. And they could make it all pretty and arrange it, but no matter what, how tempting they try to make it, there is nothing in me that says, "Yum, liver." Right? So for temptation to have that perfect work, it's an external force that triggers in me that internal desire. And usually falls in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. James tells us that no one says when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God," for God does not tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. For each is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires that is enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives forth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives forth birth to sin. This is the progression. This is what happens. We are tempted, right? That through here, it's either the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or the pride of life. Temptation comes in, and it triggers something within us. Maybe you see a picture, an image, or right, an invite, or go along with everyone else. All these things will trigger us from the outside, and then within us it says, yeah, I want that. So that temptation now becomes desire. And what do I do with that? And if we're not careful, what we should do, we're going to look at this later on, is turn that over to God, repent of that, so it doesn't grab a hold. But oftentimes what happens is we take it and we internalize it. And the Bible says that that temptation now becomes desire, and that desire gives force to sin. You follow through with those things. And that's the path. And then once we sin, the Bible says that sin leads to death. You know, a gentleman's home online, and an image pops up. He sees that image. What does he do? He clicks on it. No one's around. No one's home. He clicks on that image. And that feeds that desire within him. Now he's opened himself up to that. And the problem is, once you open yourself up, it is harder to resist that because it becomes stronger. Right? That's desire. And that desire becomes an enticement. And so next time no one's around, he clicks on it again, he clicks on it again. And after a while, he's got the desire. And all of a sudden now, because of that, he's dissatisfied with his wife. And now because he's dissatisfied with his wife, now he goes out and finds someone else. And we have a death of a marriage, death of these relationships, all because he clicked when he should have turned away. And you can fill in the blank with those temptations and those desires. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's wrath. All these things are bombarded in us. We live in a world today that tells you, I'll go ahead. And you open yourself up, and then we see this progression of sin. And you can't blame God. Actually, we're told in the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, so many times I've talked with people and they say, well, I just feel like, you know, God is kind of just toying in my life. He's dangling this down in front of me to see if I will. That's not how God works. God doesn't want you to stumble. God does not want you to fall. But you are drawn away by your desires. So how can we resist temptation? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. It says that when the tempter came to him, who's the tempter? That's Satan. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Remember, Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. He was hungry, the Bible says. It says, if you are the Son of God, and turn these stones to bread. Could he have done it? Oh, yeah. Was that a temptation? Oh, yeah. I don't think there's too many things that are better smelling than a fresh homemade loaf of bread. Does anyone make bread? Homemade bread? Put your hand up. I want your name. I love homemade bread. Give me a loaf of bread and a stick of butter, I'm a happy man. Happy, happy, happy. Right? And but look what Jesus says. And Jesus answered and said, It is written, man shall live, not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's interesting because this one seems pretty simple. You know, Jesus, are you hungry? Yeah, you have the power of God. Turn the stone into bread. What's the problem with that? Thing is, when Jesus was here, he kind of lived by our rules. And we see Jesus using his powers and abilities was to bless others, not for himself. And this really falls into this idea of the lust of the eyes. And how do we overcome, right? Look at all this. And we have the lust of the flesh, I'm sorry. This is the lust of the flesh, the desires, right? Jesus was hungry, and Satan used that temptation to play into that desire within him. To step out of God's will and to satisfy himself. And truly, but he says, look here, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That in this is the power of God. Folks, the solution for the flesh is the Spirit. Galatians tells us to put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation. You belong to God. Keep your thoughts pure. The breastplate of righteousness. Guard your heart. Do the right thing. The shield of faith. And the whole armor of God is to gear us and have us dwell on the spiritual and not on the fleshly. That's the solution. Let me tell you something. The things of this world are immediate and passing. Think about it. All the things of this world are fleeting and passing. You can't take it with you. And the satisfaction we take from that moment, from that sin, to satisfy the flesh, is something that's going to be gone like that. And I think if we're all honest, we've all dealt with that. We have given in to temptation. We have yielded to sin. And we've done whatever it is we've done. We've acted like God wouldn't want us to act. We've done these things. And then how do we feel afterwards? We feel empty and shallow and hollow. Because it does not satisfy. You know, if I just lash out, I'll feel so much better. Well, you might feel better for a moment, but then you feel horrible afterwards. Maybe you've looked, and maybe you've done, maybe you yielded, maybe you've given all these things. When you yield into that flesh, it is empty and it is hollow. And what is the answer to that? It's seek out eternal things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first. You know, I find myself saying that so many times. It's counseling to people. Are you seeking God first? And he will change your desires. He will change your appetites. Don't yield to the lust of the flesh. The desires, they are so temporary. The devil's not done with Jesus. Then the devil took him up to a high city, the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And he brought him up to a high place. He says, look, if you're God, throw yourself off and the angels will catch you. Right? Do you really believe in God the Father? Do you really believe God's protection? Go ahead and do this thing and prove God. Jesus' words are really telling. He says here, and Jesus said to him, it is written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. It's interesting, Jesus, that Satan uses scripture against Jesus. Right? And I think we live in a world today where a lot of that is. If you're religious, if you're a real Christian, then you will accept this or you'll do that, right? And we have people distorting and twisting. Let me tell you something. Satan's really good at twisting God's word. And I'll tell you what, he probably knows God's word better than you do. And if you're not careful and aware, you can be deceived by the fancy words. You know, a lot of people think that Satan's going to show up with a pitchfork and pointy, you know, horns and a red tail. He doesn't show up that way. He shows up with hair combed and shiny teeth and looking pretty snazzy. To lure you and tempt you. And Satan knows God's words and twists it, and he's been doing that throughout the centuries. And in here, what he does is says, look, if you're Son of God, throw yourself in here and God will catch you and he'll protect you. And boy, that just falls into the whole pride. The pride of life. that arrogance, that self-righteousness that rises up within us. And the solution for that, how do we overcome that, is God's will. Lord, not what I want, but what you want. Right? The solution for your satisfaction and your desires and your temptations that call within is to yield yourself to the will of God in your life and yield to Him in all things. God, what do you want? I think the words of John the Baptist put it well. He goes, He must increase and I must decrease. Less of me, Lord, and more of you. And I'll tell you, pride is one of those things that is so easy to stir up within you. Right? I'm so humble, I'm proud of it. Right? Oh, look how I am. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like that sinner over there. Lord, what do you want from me? Lord, help me walk down the path. Can I tell you something? God doesn't have to prove himself. God's not on trial. And time again, I hear people say, well, God, if you're really out there, you know, then answer my prayer. God, I will follow you only if you do these certain things for me. Let me tell you something. God is here and I am here. God doesn't owe me anything. But I don't know about you, but God is good, isn't he? And God has proven himself over and over and over again. But I don't need to tempt him. Lord, if you truly love me, then you will get me out of this. That's not love. Then in our lives, we follow him. Years ago, I don't know if you guys know Dave Reaver. The gentleman who was in Vietnam, and he had a phosphorus grenade blow off in his hand. And I know this is an old testimony. If you end up coming across it, I recommend you listening to it. But for me, it was one of the most powerful testimonies I heard. And he talks about going to a church, and he goes, he was driving to church, and he's lost an ear, lost a nose, he's lost most of his skin. And he goes, he's driving through, and he says he was turning, and this lady was turning the other way, and she looked at him, and she was just horrified because of how he looks. And she goes, and the guy's funny because he's like, well, she was going, she was locked in on me, and she crashed into the building because she was so frozen by how horrible he looked. And he went to the church, and no one was there, and he's there, and he cried out to God and says, God, I love you, I serve you, I want to be healed. And he goes, God, I'm going to walk out of this building. And he goes, if you don't heal me out of this building, you better do it or else. And he talks about, he's crying out to God and said, God, if you don't heal me, you better do it or else. So he came to the back door of the church. He opened the door and walked through. And he goes, he felt God say, or else what? And he's like, or else I'm going to keep serving you. The road that God had him on, his will in his life was enough. And I don't understand it all. But Lord, your will be done. Lord, what you want is best. Lord, you got nothing to prove to me. I will love you no matter what. Satan is struck out twice. He comes up for the bat one more time. It says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He brought him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Remember, Jesus came to save the world. And what Satan was doing is offering it to them all. He goes, only one thing in exchange. Satan says, worship me, and you can have it all. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It breaks my heart as I see some of our celebrities who God has given so much talent will trade all that wealth and fame for their faith. All this can be yours for the low price of $19.99 and 20 easy payments, right? All this can be yours. You can have it all. Just give up your faith. You know, I've shared with you that I had a conversation with a guy, and he goes, you know how you have your church grow? And I said, yeah, what? And he goes, just give up the whole Jesus is God thing. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I mean, teach people how to be good, teach people how to love their neighbor and do all those things. And he goes, more people would come. He goes, you know, people kind of get hooked up on that Jesus is God thing. And I told him that Jesus is God thing is what it's all about. All this can be yours. In seminaries and seminars, churches are being told, you know, if you just drop these issues and don't talk about these verses, all this can be yours. Lord, I want your will be done. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help me see the path that you have laid out before me. There's an old hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Folks, what are we looking at? And what's the prize? The devil is tempting you. You can have it all if you just follow me. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. Following Satan leads to death and destruction and despair. I think we're seeing that all around. But give me Jesus. And Lord, help me follow you and serve you only. And folks, that's peace and contentment comes your way. See, Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut. Jesus came to this earth. Why? He came to die. To head to the cross, to die for your sins and mine. And what Satan was saying, look, I'll give you all of this. You don't even have to face the cross. And you can have it all. Just worship me. And Jesus then took the bait. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It's through the cross that we have our salvation. Can I tell you something? Beware of the shortcuts. And I don't know about you, but part of me likes shortcuts. I don't know if it's just a guy thing or, you know, I'm one that I want the quickest way. And actually, I'm one that will go up and, you know, going to Bangor. Okay, you know, do I go out to Winterport Road, stay in the main stretch, which one? So I actually will clock both. And it depends on the traffic and how fast you go, right? But it's interesting. I'm like, oh, I want the shortest way. Yeah, I'm not a Sunday driver kind of guy. I don't just enjoy cruising around. My wife will say, hey, let's go for a ride. I'm like, where do you want to go? Oh, let's just drive around. No, I want to go somewhere. Right? And so, you know, we did that for a while. And she says, well, let's go to Walmart in Ellsworth. Okay. So I'll drive up to Ellsworth, go to Walmart. We get out, and then I come home. That's right? I had my goal, turn around, come back. And she goes, well, can't we just drive? No, that's longer. I don't want to go that way. I want the shortcut. I understand that. And sometimes I want the quick way. Years ago, I bought a guitar. I still have it. I still haven't figured out how to make it work. Because it doesn't sound like when other people have it. And I had a guy in school, and I told him, I said, look, teach me guitar. He goes, okay. So I went over one Saturday afternoon, and he pulls out this book, and he goes, look, let me tell you something. Here's some quick music theory. And I'm like, I don't want no music theory. He goes, okay, well, here's chord progressions. And this is how, no, I just want to know how to strum and make it sound good. Right? Just show me the shortest, quickest way to play. And he just kind of shook his head. And that's why I still don't play today. I still have the guitar. I still have the books. But I don't want to do the work. Because there's no shortcut to it. I even went out and bought a little thing that I can clip on the guitar that has buttons. So you only have the chord, you just got to push the buttons. It doesn't work. Because I want to play. I want to be able to play music. I think it's so cool. You know, I'd be the jamming pastor. But I want the shortcut. I don't want to put the work in. Right? And in my life, when God is working in my life to teach me patience, to teach me endurance, to teach me faith, I want the shortcut. I want the accelerated program. And God says, you know what? There is no shortcuts. See, folks, God's will is perfect, and the road that you are on is a road you need to be on. And there's no shortcuts. And I know maybe it's hard. And maybe you don't like the road that you're on. And let me tell you something. God's a loving God. And if there's any other way for his will to be played out in your life, he would choose a different road for you. But like Christ had to go through the cross. And sometimes the temptation is to find the shortcuts. To find something that's going to make it go away. So many people turn to substance and other things to numb them and make their way through life. Folks, the tragedies and the hardships and the joys and the rejoicing you've gone through in your life, you are on it by the will of God in your life, that he knows what he's doing to accomplish his perfect work in your life. And yield to that. And Satan will come along and try to offer all kinds of shortcuts. Maybe it's to make the pain go away in certain things, or maybe to give up. I was having a conversation with a pastor, and we're just kind of sharing about some things. And he looked at me and he goes, I'm tired of always having to be the bigger person. He's going through an issue in his church, and some people are being really nasty to him. And he goes, I just, for once, want to get in the gutter with them, and I just want to give it to them, you know. He goes, I'm tired of always having to be the bigger person. I said, so why don't you? He goes, because I love God, and I want to do what's right. I understand that. Sometimes we want the shortcut. Sometimes we want the pain to stop. Sometimes we say we want to get off. Not my will, but your will be done. And Satan came to Jesus and approached him in the same ways that he approaches us, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These temptations that we face in various things. And because your struggles are different than mine, these things can take on different shapes and different forms. But we are all in this together. And after three times, Satan turned away. It says, and the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Folks, let me tell you a secret. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Satan can't hold a match against Jesus. And Jesus is in you. James tells us, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. Can I tell you a little secret? When you face temptation, pray. When you feel defeated, get closer to God. And what will happen is if Satan sees that every time he messes with your life, you go running to the cross, he's going to leave you alone. If he messes with you and you wander and you run, he's going to keep it up all day long. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me give you three steps to take when you're tempted. And like this is going to be physical temptations. This is going to be emotional temptations. You know, things like anger and wrath, gossip. These are all sins, as well as pornography, alcoholism, all these things. And the solution is the same thing. First one is to avoid it. Right? If you're in a situation that's going to tempt you, don't go there. I'm going to use my food illustration. Right? If you're on a diet, don't go to Dunkin' Donuts. Right? Avoid it. How far? The Bible says, you know what? If your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it off. In here, and I'm saying cut off your arm and pluck out your eye. What Jesus was saying is, look, if your relationship with God is the most important thing, and it costs you other things, give up those things. And maybe it's a change of friends. Maybe it's a change of venue. Maybe it's other changes in your life that you need to do. Avoid the temptation to begin with. Second thing is acknowledge that temptation. Remember James tells us what? Temptation now becomes desire. And that's where we have to sort of nip this. When we see something or something starts drawing us in, stop and say, you know what, God, this isn't right. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge your shortcomings. You know what? I can't go here. I can't do this because it's going to tempt me. Don't pretend you're stronger than you are. I can handle it. The other day I was explaining to my daughter, you know, programs, you know, for, you know, adults. Or these, you know, mature audiences only. And she goes, you know, what's rated R? What's a, and we're going through, yeah, well, this is, you know, the world said this isn't for kids, but this is things that adults are supposed to be able to handle. And she's like, those aren't good for adults either. No, they're not. Right? Acknowledge those things. Lord, I need you. Lord, I don't want this anymore. Lord, change my appetite. I tell you, that's a powerful prayer. Lord, this thing has a hold on my life, and I don't want it to anymore. Lord, I want to give it up. Lord, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want these things in my life. Lord, change me. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the last step is to affirm. And what I mean by that is acknowledge these things and then fill yourself with the positive. That's what Jesus did, right? Satan tempted and he rebutted with God's word. That in your life, when you're caught up in something, stop, confess it, and turn, and then fill that void with something else. Maybe it's reading a verse. Maybe it's some Christian music. Maybe it's Christian fellowship. Maybe it's something else in your life that will feed the spiritual. So acknowledge it, stop it, turn from it, and then fill it with the positive. And lastly, temptation does not have to have its hold on us. And we can be victorious in the temptations of life. And we pray to God. Jude tells us, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Folks, we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We can have victory over our temptations if we confess it, turn from it, and fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. And just like Jesus, we can resist him and he will flee from us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your words. Lord, you could have just cast the devil aside and says, leave me alone, but you didn't. You did these things as an example for us. Lord, to seek your will. Lord, to seek you first. To resist the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lord, each one of us has our own battles. Lord, strengthen us in the Spirit. They may be changed by your power, Lord. We ask these things in your name.